The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man throws seed on the land. Night and day, while he sleeps, when he is awake, the seed is sprouting and growing. How, he does not know. Of its own accord, the land produces first the shoot, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the crop is ready, he loses no time. He starts to reap because the harvest has come." He also said, "What can we say the kingdom of God is like? What parable can we find for it? It is like a mustard seed, which at the time of its sowing in the soil is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet once it is sown, it grows into the biggest shrub of them all and puts out big branches so that the birds of the air can shelter in its shade." Using many parables like these, he spoke the word to them, so far as they were capable of understanding it. He would not speak to them except in parables. But he explained everything to his disciples when they were alone. The Gospel of the Lord. I think there are many priests, teachers, and parents these days who feel woefully inadequate in the face of today's very changed society, particularly the technological society. And often the yesterday's answers seem to have no relationship to the questions of today. Many people finding it hard to hold on to any faith in the kingdom of God. And we look around and we see emptying churches and we see dwindling numbers here in the Western world. But St. Mark's gospel is actually very relevant to the situation, because Mark was writing to a church in crisis, a faith in crisis, writing about 40 years after the time of Jesus, and the church community was under great persecution from the outside. Virtually all the apostles had been martyred, and direct links to Jesus were virtually gone. So they had the new phenomenon of Christians lapsing and falling away from faith. And we know from other parts of the New Testament that there were also problems internal from self-appointed prophets and healers who were distorting the message of Jesus for their own ends. Of course, that situation has gone on throughout Christian history, and it's just as much alive today as it ever was. But people then were asking, as we may be asking too, is this what Jesus set up as the kingdom of God? And Mark wrote that gospel to try and help us address that. So he gathers into one of his chapters five parables that instruct us on what the kingdom of God is like. Two of them we've just heard, the seed growing and seeds germinating, plants reaching maturity, being harvested, full of grown, offering shelter and shade to wildlife. Picked up in the first reading, reflected, of course, in the gospel. We sang that in our opening hymn. But Mark also gives us in that same chapter what we know as the parable of the sower, about the farmer going out to sow his seed, and how some seed falls on the good ground and some field falls on rocky ground and some's choked by the thorns. And they're parables we know. We often refer to them as the parable of the sower, or the parable of the seed grown secretly, or the parable of the mustard seed. Most people reading the parables think it's about the seed. That's only a part of it. In Mark, he's keen for you to notice particularly the earth, the soil, the land, because that's where the seed falls. There's nothing wrong with the seed, because the seed is the word of God. It's the earth, the soil, the land that it gets to that can be the problem. And Mark, in a way, focuses on that. The seed obviously is significant, but it's received. And the earth, the soil, the land is humanity. Humus, which means the earth. We're formed from the dust of the earth. We are the soil, as it were, that the seed is falling into. And so it's the condition of the soil, the earth, that determines our reaction to the word, to the seed, to Jesus. The earth has to receive the seed, meaning that we have to listen to the word of Jesus. Now, in a different age, they don't necessarily hear the word, but of course it can be all there on their mobiles, on whatever it is, the iPad, wherever it is. You can get the word. But you can or you can't. And that's the point. What sort of earth soil are we if we are receiving that word of God? Are we open to receiving it? Or are we that arid, hard land like in the parable of the sower, where it fell on the rocky ground and couldn't get in? So however we hear, or however that word comes to us, the word is the important bit. But we receiving it as well. And that's, I think, the bit that we find difficult in our own times, how we communicate that in a different way of today's world of communication. But you see, Mark even addresses that, because he said large crowds heard the story, heard the parable, but they stayed outside the circle of believers. They didn't quite fully understand what the parables were saying. That's why Jesus took his disciples, and when they were alone, interpreted it to them. And in a way, we may receive the word through on our mobiles or on our screens or wherever it is. But we've got to be here together to take it in and have it unpacked for us. I always used to say, it's years ago, that you don't become a Christian by going into a library, picking up a Bible, reading the story and thinking, oh, I'll join them. It's usually because someone brings you along. It's someone because of human contact. And in a time when people can be more absorbed in their own rooms, with their own little screens, looking at that, that's what we miss. And you see, Mark, in a way, addresses that. Because he said that Jesus met then with the disciples and interpreted to them. Because we hear the word of God. But if it's to bring forth fruit, we need that word interpreted, we need to dwell upon it, we need to think about it, we need to work on it. And that is all part of the way Mark addresses these parables, in a way that Luke and Matthew are a little different. So that word of Jesus that we receive in as the good earth shows us who we really are. The parables deal with the interaction between ourselves and the word. The word involves us. That seed involves the earth. That's what we need to understand. That's why we need to be there. Because we are the earth, and we've got to be receptive to the seed that is been sown. And these parables show us that we only become the people God wants us to be when we've absorbed that seed into ourselves and it's grown. And he shows us the potential that we've got for growth. That's the mustard seed, the smallest seed of all, he says. But then, look how it can grow. And in a way, St. Mark's trying to say to that Christian community listening, us today, that small band of disciples grew to be the huge Christian community that it's become around the globe. In Mark's time, it could grow or not grow. It could yield or not yield much fruit, depending on the soil, on the people listening. We find it hard in our own days to evangelize. The soil doesn't seem good for sowing at the moment. But was it ever thus? And we've always got to be working on it. And in a way, that's what it is. The Lord, that Bishop Mark is addressing us to, the whole thing of evangelization is trying to look at the soil we've got. How can we sow that seed? Because Mark's saying, if the word is good, then if the soil is good as well, let us be full of hope. Because Mark, writing to those Christian battered community that they were, was full of hope. We're people of hope, one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's why it's good in this green time that we're growing in those fruits of the Spirit. Are we bearing that fruit? One of them, love, joy, peace, hope among them. And there are signs all around if we look for them. But we do have to wait patiently, like the farmer, who he doesn't understand how it's all growing, but it does. What it is God at work, and that never ceases. God is always with his people. God is always loving and caring and tending and all those things that the Lord is doing for us. And maybe we should wait with the sort of hope which inspired these words of a prisoner of in the wartime to write, "I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I feel it not. I believe in God, even when he is silent."